up, Mr. Gallagher. Join us here at KNLC International on our VCR station. Always here in the city of Dallas. Here, Metroplex. Got a different guest speaker coming in on IFC Thursday night. Matter of fact, we got the number of speakers on the covenant. Actually, 8:30 on IFC speaker service. But tonight, we got the man of God at 8 o'clock, Elder Kerry Williams. Somewhere out of Saginaw, Michigan, of Kerry Williams Ministry. In question, he's a call for what he's going to come to the kingdom of God. So let's prepare ourselves and get ready. We'll hear what he has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. We'll make sure we got him on the line and make sure everything's going to run perfectly as we suspected it should. Man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, are you there? All right, all right. We're going to actually get ourselves in position here to hear what the word of God is coming from the kingdom of God. And we're going to actually go ahead and get started on some of our actually announcements on this coming Friday. We got the man of God, Apostle Oscar Walker. He's going to come into the studio and been a part of the work here at HNLC. He's always got something great that's coming out of the city of Houston, Texas. And he's been a part of this ministry for probably 15 years. Great man of God. We just declared and decreed that he continue to come into the service and can give us all the information we need to go forth and kind of helping us out in the area in which we're going. And we thank God for him and what he's doing here with us here at HNLC. Also, we want to thank God for the man of God, Dr. Albright, Bright in Albright. Right out of Ghana, who's hosting the man of God down there in Ghana, out of Kenya. That's the highly esteemed Bishop Jim Minor, who's done a powerful work down there in the city of Houston. So we thank God for the opportunity to be here today, and we're going to get ourselves and go get started. Wanted to turn your Bibles and look at the Word of God that we've been actually studying and talking about here at HNLC Studios as we get the chance to express the Word of God, as always, here at HNLC. Want to take your Bibles, want to look over in the book of Acts. Let's look over in the book of Acts. Go in the book of Acts. I want to pick out some things here that we talked about earlier today concerning the word of God that came from the kingdom of God. We're going to get ourselves in position. We're going to be turning the Bibles right along with you as we hear what the word of God is speaking to us over in the book of Acts. And we're going to go into that particular fourth chapter in the book of Acts. And we're going to look at some powerful work that took place with the apostles during the course of time they was here. Going to hear a little static in the studio. Want to make sure we don't like to make excuses here. Want to kind of pull back and make sure we actually hearing what the word of God has coming from here at HNLC. So I'm going to be hearing some clicking. Don't worry about it. We're going to actually hear what the word of God is speaking to us. Let's go to the book of Acts. We're here in the area of Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to be turning pages right along with you guys as we go forth. And we're going to decree a plan that's coming from the kingdom of God. And know that no weapon, form, created, designed against the work of the kingdom of God that shall prosper. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4. I don't want to sound redundant on this because I'm turning along with you guys. I want to make sure we're in the right position here. Look at the book of Acts chapter 4. It's amazing about the word of God in the book of Acts chapter 4 because it talks the hindrance of the ministry and how there are different people in position, not just different people, but different things that take place in the body of Christ. That as we go forward, we got to believe and declare and decree that when God gives us a word, we're going to have to push forward regardless of what some of the things are in position to keep us away from hearing what God has to say. Now, over here in the book of Acts chapter 4, as we get ourselves in position here, we're just going to get a short segment here. We got the speaker is going to be coming in tonight, and we're going to get him here in just a minute, and we're going to actually go ahead and proceed on what we're talking about here before we actually bring him in, because we want to make sure we're getting this word out here. Open the book of Acts chapter 4. Let's look at something here, very interesting. The word of God declared a creed in the book Acts chapter 4. He said, and they spoke to the people, and a priest and a captain at the temple of the Sadducees came upon them. And the Bible said, being grieved, that they taught the people, they preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is what a hindrance is going to come in at, because they're speaking the right thing, but in the wrong place. And sometimes you find yourself in places where you're going to minister the word of God, but there are certain people who will turn a deaf ear to what God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God, and they take their life in a different direction. Now, I want to kind of look at the first part of this particular area in Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to pull back out here. Just want to make a small statement before we bring the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, on. He said, and they spoke unto the people, and the priest and the captain of the temple, listen here, and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, these particular Sadducees, these Pharisees, they were actually rulers over some of the synagogues, mostly all the synagogues that took place back in those days. And they had what you call strong arm men that even that process when the Pentecost began to take place, it was a certain time that they forbidden or diametrically opposed the word of God from being spoken in those particular areas and facilities. But as they began to speak the word, and the word of God says over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 2, they was grieved that he taught the people, notice this, through the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them, they put them in holding until the next day. But this is what I make a point about this before we bring the man of God on. The Bible said that they heard the word. The Bible said faith coming by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. When you hear the word of God and it makes an impact on your life, the word of God declares that's not a weapon form. It's not one created, designed that can pull it away from you. So these men of God went forth with the word of God, but they suffered the consequences. As the word of God talks about, all these blessings comes with persecution. We can't just want the word of God because of the good things he do and give us. I mean, that's automatic because he said he'd give us the very gifts of the things we ask for. In other words, if we walk upright, Psalms 91:84-11, if we walk upright, the Bible says no good thing will he withhold from us. That's if we walk upright. But I'm going to shut it down right there. We got the man of God. He's just kind of appeared on the screen. I want to kind of keep the space going here. So we're going to bring him in without delay. And that's the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams. And we're going to jump right into this word with him and hear what he has to say. I want to keep that little nugget to you guys and kind of hang on to it. You know, when the word of God comes to you in such a way that it's giving you an opportunity to move forward, you don't care. Don't let anything deter you or pull you back. Elder Kerry Williams, let's get moving. We're right on with you.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle Charles Ellis. Amen. We thank God for you tonight. Amen. We had a couple of difficulties here with the phone tonight, so we're a couple of months behind coming in. But how many know that God is going to always make sure that the enemy can do nothing to stop his word from going forth? Amen. So we're going to keep it moving right there where you were at, Apostle Ellis. As a matter of fact, we want to continue talking about faith. Last week, we talked about faith by way of Daniel, the third chapter. And we know the story of the three Hebrew boys. And we took a look at how your faith is not always made manifest in order for you to see, but oftentimes it's made for someone else to see. You know, we got a lot of naysayers out there. We got a lot of people that don't believe, but all of us have someone else whose eyes are always on us. Amen. Just like the Bible lets us know that our eyes are always upon the Lord. Well, guess what? People that you come in contact with, folks saved and unsaved alike, have their eyes on you, amen? So what we want to do right here, we want to stay right there in the book of Acts, and we're going to go to Acts, the 28th chapter. We want to look at the first six verses, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and then we'll go from there. We've got about 22 minutes left, so we want to move rather expeditiously. But Acts 28:1 says, let me get my place, I'm sorry. Acts 28:1 says, now when they had escaped, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Now, remember that word native translate actually to barbarians. That's going to be important because of your faith. Verse 3 says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. They actually thought in their hearts they were presuming him dead. They were actually pronouncing a death sentence on him because the snake had attached to his hand. Verse 5 says, but he shook off the creature, hallelujah, into the fire and suffered no harm. Right there, some of y'all should be praising God because of your faith. This is what we've got to do. We've got to shake off the attack. I'm going to get more into that in a moment, but I want to finish reading. Verse 6 says, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Listen, beloved, we all know and understand that because of the word, and this is plain talk, I'm talking to you tonight because somebody needs to know that no matter what you're going through, it has an expiration date. Just like it had a beginning date, it also has an expiration date. But when Satan does his thing, you do your thing, you maintain your faith, and you shake it off. The Bible says to resist Satan, and it doesn't say that he might flee. It doesn't say that he should flee, but it says he shall flee. And see, I'm not speaking from a glass tower. I'm not speaking from an ivory tower. I'm yet under attack every single day, but I'll tell you this much. No devil in hell is greater than my faith in the God that I know, serve, and love. Amen? Because it's because of my faith in God that I'm able to go on now. God has healed me from diabetes. God has healed me from high blood pressure. God has healed me from cancer. So do you honestly think that I have time to worry about a thing such as kidney failure? No, God has already healed that, healed me from that as well. Amen. I'm just making sure that my faith remains intact. I shake off everything that the devil gives, because at the end of the day, it's only what you do for Christ is going to last. And, you know, when it comes to faith, we've got to really learn how to shake off these attacks into the fire. Jesus said at the times, in Matthew 24 chapter, Jesus said the times that we're living in now are what's called the beginning of sorrows. If you look around you, you see the word of God coming to pass every single day. You see that prophecy of Christ coming to pass. And believe me this, believe you me, if the word of God and all things that was prophesied about Christ before he came and during this time here, don't you think the word of God is also true and accurate about Christ after he's gone? Christ was here in the flesh. Christ has gone. He set it up, and he delegated that same power that raised him from the dead into each and every one of us. This is what strengthens our faith. This is the vehicle. I remember several years ago, this rapper, this famous rapper, what's his name? I believe it's Rick Ross. He made popular a particular type of car. It's a type of Mercedes. It's called a Maybach. And for the longest time, all you heard was Maybach this and Maybach that. Everybody wanted to buy a Maybach. This car costs about $100,000, $150,000. And one time I went down to the auto show in Detroit and I looked at one. And yes, it's a beautiful car, inside and out, no doubt. The car's got a price tag, let's say, of about $100,000, $150,000. But God impressed something in my spirit right then and there. And it was simply this. That car is a vehicle. It's much like the saint and his walk of faith. In other words, it's like this. The car is a $150,000 car, excuse me, and it's so beautiful. The car has this this amazing and this really supercharged and luxurious and powerful engine in it. But guess what? Without gas, all it's going to do is sit there and continue to look pretty. See, your heart, your spirit is just like the engine of that car. It's what drives you, it's what operates the car. But without faith, faith is just like the gas. If you don't put gas in that $150,000 car, that car is just going to do nothing but sit there and look at you. So if you don't feed your spirit by your faith and vice versa, then guess what? You're going to spin your wheels, you're going to sit and look still, and you're going to walk this life and be defeated. We've got to understand that this day and age, we're seeing the word of God come to pass, and believe it or not, saints, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Just like God used the faith of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to show himself strong and to reveal to King Nebuchadnezzar who he was, well, guess what? God's using your faith this day and age to do the same thing. Right now, God gets things done on earth through the hands of men, through the hands of you and I. So our faith has to be intact. That's the reason why the Bible lets us know clearly that we've got to grow from faith to faith, because in the church, there's a saying that we always said, that I've always heard it said, and it said it is, new levels, new devils. In other words, the more you grow and go up in God, the tougher the challenges, the more, the bigger and the greater the attacks that you're going to face. See, the enemy knows his outcome. Beloved, he doesn't know yours. This is why every chance he gets, he wants to rob you of your faith, because he wants to take as many people with him as he can. But praise God, the Bible says that you are to grow from faith to faith. And the Bible says concerning your faith that without faith, no man can please God. This is why you hear so much about faith. But let me tell you something. Faith ain't just something to be talked about. Faith ain't just something to be looked at. Faith isn't just something to be admired, but faith is something to be lived. It's to be walked in every moment of every day, because without it now, the attack of the enemy is designed to consume you. The enemy's job, yes, we quote all these scriptures, to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but he can't destroy true faith, and he knows it. That's why fear and doubt are robbers of faith. They're just like lightness and dark. They can't occupy the same space at the same time. So just like Paul shook that viper off in the fire, you've got to shake off each and every attack and move on up a little bit more. It's I'm not telling you, I'm not going to lie, sugarcoat anything and tell you everything is going to be hunky-dory or pleasing. The Bible never says that once we come to him, once we develop a faith, that everything is going to be rosy. No, quite the opposite. The Bible says that whoever wants to reign with God shall also what? Suffer with him. Yes, we have to suffer persecution, because if we expect to reign with Christ, we've got to suffer with and like Christ, amen. And the truth of the matter is your faith is everything. The people actually expected Paul to fall off dead when they saw this snake hanging from his hand. Now, even through this whole time, if you know the story, Paul had been falsely accused and imprisoned. And they were taking him to Rome to talk to the king. And what happened was they were in the ship, and the ship, the storms began to rage and everything. The ship was wrecked. God had already told Paul that even though all of that was going to happen, because God, everything God does through you and I, as long as we're believing him and we're trusting him, is designed to show not us his strength, because we know the strength. We know the power of God. Sometimes, yes, we need reminders, but it's designed to show those who we come into contact with. This is why it's so important that you keep your faith. We do a show on Tuesday nights concerning testimony. Listen, if your faith is intact, your testimony is intact. If your testimony is intact, your faith is intact. David testified every chance he could and said that he equated keeping the testimony of God with keeping the commandments of God because of his faith in God. Amen. And I'm trying to keep this expeditious. And yes, I get excited because even right now, even today, my faith is tried every single day. Like I said, I'm not speaking from an ivory tower. Apostle Charles knows my testimony, as some of you will. I've got some things in the fire right now. Number one on my list, and God is already working it out, I've been on the kidney transplant list for 9 years. Now, keep in mind that the average wait period for a donated kidney is 3 to 5 years. I've been on the list for 9. And not so long ago, the man of God told me, he said, you're going to get that phone call. Man of God, Pastor Chet Atkins told me, he said, Ellie, you're going to get that phone call. He said, it's going to come so quick, it's going to make your head spin. He said, God has already worked it out on your behalf, and he's moving. You have to work and stay in position, keep working, and it's going to happen. And he said this on a Thursday night. A Wednesday night at Bible study. Friday morning, the call came from Henry Ford. They were activating me back on the transplant list. He repeated this to me at prayer a few days ago. Yesterday, Henry Ford called again and said, you are active again. Be ready and have your bags packed. Same words the man of God told me. But the key was is that I never doubted. I received it. I believed in faith. Like I said, God has already delivered me from so much. I have no reason to start doubting him now. But we can't afford to get weak in our faith. We can't afford to get wishy-washy because now, again, we're living in the beginning, what Jesus called the beginning of sorrows. He said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when they asked him for a sign of the end times, he said, look around you. He said, you're going to see wars and rumors of wars. He said, you're going to see pestilence and disease and famines and earthquakes in diverse places. He said, but what? This is what I love about God. You need to go through your Bible and count how many times that God tells you not to fear. He says, be not dismayed or do not fear. He said, because even though you see all of these things that we're witnessing in the world around us today that are being played out, he said, do not fear because the end is not yet. In other words, God alone knows when the end of all things is. But we have no reason to even worry, wonder, or fear if we're ready to go, if we're ready, prepared, if our faith is intact. We've got to understand that ours is because of our faith, and be it unto you because of your faith. Ours is to hold on and to continue to seek to do the will of God. It's about kingdom building right now. Lives and souls are at stake, and people are leaving here at an alarming rate every single day. The saint of God, because of his faith, does not fear death. The saint of God, because of his faith, is ready to even embrace death, and particularly for the cause of Christ. But everything that you get through, every battle, no matter how small or how intense it gets, every battle that God brings you through strengthens your faith, and it makes you ready for the next one, and it prepares you more and more for the coming of Christ, because that's what this is about, y'all. This is about souls. This is about harvesting souls. And those of you that are in ministry and in about how you feel and about what you want, it's about your faith keeping you on point and faithful, always ready and willing to do the work and the bidding of the God that you know and serve. I'm going to read one last thing to you. We've got a couple more minutes here. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and 12 through 18, I'm just going to paraphrase, but it says, and this is, this is the NIV version. Dear friends, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to you. Verse 13 says, instead, be really glad. King James Version says, don't be alarmed. Do not be dismayed when you go through diverse trials. But it says, instead, be really glad because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterwards, you will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory in that coming day when it will be displayed. Verse 14 says, be happy if you are cursed and insulted for being a Christian. For when that happens, the Spirit of God will come upon you with great glory. Beloved, the Bible says that when the thief comes in, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Your level of faith or your lack thereof makes all the difference in that level of that standard. And make no mistake, this is all spiritual warfare. Man is locked in a battle between the forces of God, the forces of enemy. We're caught right in the middle. But God loved us enough to give us free will, which means we choose freely whichever side we want to be on. Bible says, whose report shall you believe? Joshua said it like this He said, whether it be the gods of the Amorites on the other side, or whether it be the Amorite, the god of the Amorites on the other side of the flood, or whether it be the God that we know, he said, but choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether it be God of the Amorites. We've got to understand that it's time out for playing with God. It's time out for being weak in the faith. Amen. I got so much to go and so little time. We're going to continue this next week. But we want to let you all know that we love you, and we're continuing to pray with you as you pray with us. And please, no matter what goes on in your life, praise God. Praise your way through. I'm going to leave you with this, Acts 25:16. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake that shook the foundation of the prison. And the Bible says that everyone's bands were loosed. Even in your darkest hour, when you pray and you praise God, it builds your faith. And when it builds your faith, everything around you is loosed. All of the burdens and the bonds, and everything is loosed. This is why we praise our way through. But we thank God for this space. Amen. We got to keep it quick and keep it moving. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to be done with tonight's lesson. We want to say thank God for the man of God, Apostle Charles Ellis, and also his wife, Pastor Patty Ellis, and Harvest New Life Church out of Dallas, Texas. And we want to continue to pray with you, and we would that you would continue to be a blessing to them on tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for these hearts, these minds that have tuned in to receive your word, oh God. Bless each and every one as we leave from this place, but not your presence. And continue to keep each and every one of us and bring us back to the appointed place at the appointed time without hurt, harm, or danger to any loved one. These and all the blessings we thank you for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. We love you, and good night.